participated in that. He just kept moving further and further and further right, and this all happened kind of behind our backs. He became a men's rights activist, and then a couple years ago, he showed up to a family gathering and started ranting about the Jews, and I asked him if he identified as a white nationalist, and he said, yeah, I'm a fascist.
Well, his father wrote in this open letter, the thing about that his son once joked, the thing about us fascists is it's not what we don't believe in freedom of speech. You can say whatever you want. We'll just throw you in an oven. So his father wrote, Peter, you will have to shovel our bodies into the oven, too. This is part one of our conversation. You and Christian, we will continue with in dialogue together. Jacob Scott, nephew of the white nationalist Peter Tefft, who marched in Charlottesville, and Christian Piccolini, former neo-Nazi co-founder of Life After Hate, just defunded by the Trump administration. I'm Amy Goodman. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. It's 8 o'clock. This is 90.7 KBOO Portland. John Slaughter's in the studio. Voices from the Edge, next.
Holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is also available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Board meetings will be conducted at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The KBOO Board of Directors meets the fourth Monday of the month, starting at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
Books and Records! Books and Records! Come on down to KBOO's annual used book and record sale on Saturday, August 19th, noon to 6 p.m. at Cider Riot. There will be fabulous books, DVDs, CDs, and vinyl at ridiculously low prices. It's a fun community event that benefits your favorite community radio station, KBOO. Again, that's KBOO's annual used book and record sale on Saturday, August 19th from noon to 6 at Cider Riot, 807 Northeast Cooch Street in Portland. More information can be found at KBOO.FM on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Yes, sir. It is Thursday. This is Voices from the Edge. I am John Slaughter. We are in KBOO studio. We'd like to thank KBOO for having me, because basically without Miss Joanne and KBOO, you wouldn't hear John Slaughter. This is Voices from the Edge with a little bit of poetic justice feel. When you have John Slaughter and PG on the air, you're getting a little bit of music, a little bit of entertainment, a little bit of arts, and of course we're keeping it justified. And so we got a great show today, but before we get into the show, I got to talk to you guys about one thing. What is good with this Portland traffic? Claude, have mercy. I read an article. They were talking about the peak times in traffic here. Peak time in one highway was 12 to 8 p.m. That's a work shift. I'm going to tell you right now, I took the back roads to get here, but I'm here and we're here. We're here on the radio. We have a great show. I don't know if you've been listening to Voices from the Edge the past couple of weeks since I've been on. First week, we had some music guests. We talked about events. We had a lot of Portland MCs. We had Mighty in the building, Mike Capes in the building. And then last week, we talked to some individuals in Portland who do some good things, some individuals who I like, Miss Renee Lopez with her photography, Mr. Adrian Wright with the hip-hop shows. And we had a chance to just kind of get a little bit more, talk about community, talk about what people do in Portland. And of course, today we're going to talk a little bit more about Portland, but also we're going to get a little more revolutionary. And in the building, I got my guy, Greg McKelvey. Greg, say hi to people.
What's up? How's it going?
Good morning. Hey, thanks for coming down.
Of course.
I'm going to be real with you guys. When he walked in like he looked like he just woke up with
his
cookies.
Man, you sound like you just woke up.
I do. I did. I've only, let's see, I had like 2 hours of sleep. I was at Wicked Wednesdays last night. Uh-huh. I go to Wicked Wednesdays every Wednesday. And then some Wednesdays, I stay up and don't go to sleep for the show.
That's a bad look.
It's a bad look, but good thing we on the radio.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't see me with the camel scarf, you know what I'm saying, the mic, capes, haps, representing.
You look cooler than me.
That tells K-Boo people that we need to be on TV then. Oh, snap, K-Boo. K-Boo podcast coming near some radios near you. So, Greg, tell the people what you do here. Introduce yourself a little
bit. Sure. So, my name is Greg McKelvey. I actually just graduated from law school.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I don't recommend it. And before that, I have a political science degree from Oregon State. I graduated from there in 2014, I believe, but I'm 24 now. Yeah.
Yeah.
And let's see. So I graduated from law school, but I'm not a lawyer. Instead, I basically spend all my time organizing in the community.
Yes.
So I'm one of the co-founders of Portland's Resistance.
Yes.
That was basically formed after the election. At first, we just wanted a place for people to know, like, where do you go? Because people were going to be in the streets. We're like, where are we going to meet? So, like, that was how it started. And then within a couple of days, we had like 5,000, 6,000 likes. And we're like, wait, we should actually make this into something.
Yes.
So since then we've built like this great organization where we have 80 central committee members, around 80, and our meetings are open. You've been to one of the meetings. Yeah,
yes.
It's great there. And then we have 7 people on the organizing committee, which 4 of the 7 are women of color.
Nice.
And then there's me, who's black, and then there's my girlfriend Kat, and a guy named James Offsink, who ran for state senate, who's our policy director.
Yes.
So we and the organizing committee doesn't have like extra special superpower. We just in the organization, but rather we like carry out what the central committee wants throughout the day on a daily basis, because the central committee only meets once a week. So we have a protest coming up on Friday.
Yes.
That's tomorrow. Yeah, it's going to be major. So there's like 1,200 people confirmed going on Facebook. So it's going to be one of the biggest ones since January 20th.
Now it's on Friday. Now let's plug before we forget, because I love to make sure we tell people about events so they know where to go, where they can get active. So what's going on Friday?
So Friday at Salmon Street Springs at the waterfront at 5:30. So we're going to have a rally from like 5:30 to 7-ish. There's some great people performing, and then we're going to move into the streets.
Nice. Excuse me. Taking the power to the... it's really the movement. It's really a movement, but taking the movement to the streets, that's what we really need to do. Nice. So you guys are rallying on Friday. Now, before we start to kind of just talk about more about the resistance, and as we get a little more justified, I just found out I know your brother. I thought he was your cousin. But it's funny because I knew it was him. Shout out to my guy, Daniel McKelvey. I knew you guys were family because I saw the graduation picture.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait a minute, this is Portland. Uh-huh. It's less than 6 degrees separation.
Of course.
And I was like, oh, Daniel, that's my guy. Yes. Grew up with him, played a lot of basketball with him.
For real, he's pretty good.
He is. He's like 6'20".
Yeah, I know, but his shot is funky looking.
It is.
It goes in.
He gonna be mad. Yeah, you already know. It does go in. Shout out to Daniel. Good guy, good coach. Now, we've ran into each other in the past.
Of course.
In the streets.
Yep.
Marching, and I respect you very much so. You do a lot of good work. What made you want to get active, being woke?
Sure. So, you know, when I first went to college, I had no idea what I wanted to be or what I wanted to do. So, but I knew that Obama had just ran He was basically running again my freshman year, which would have been 2012. So it's like we're in the middle of like how we just did 2016.
Yes.
That's happening again, but with Obama. And so I was like, man, I really want this black dude to stay in office. And I'm really not messing with Mitt Romney.
Yep.
So like that kind of inspired me to be like, okay, maybe I want to get a political science degree, because I had no idea what I was going to do in college.
The man.
So I kept going with the political science degree and just reading all that stuff, like ancient political thought, like Socrates, Aristotle, Plato, that kind of stuff. And then like more contemporary stuff like that. Like if you go on my bookshelf, like I'm not reading novels. It's all political thought from like the 1800s of all sides and stuff like that, trying to see how it applies to today. Even I just reread Plato just the other day.
Nice.
Because like it's cool to see how that stuff relates. But that's just what I'm interested in, history and politics and stuff like that.
Yes.
So when you're in college getting a political science degree, you have to do an internship. And so my internship was working on a political campaign, and I basically rose through that campaign to where I was like one person, two people under the campaign manager.
Nice.
Which basically put me into my new career. And after that, I just started managing campaigns myself.
Yes.
And my style of managing campaigns is to, well, there's many different aspects of it, but one of the aspects of it is to get my candidate as involved in street activism as possible, because one, that's where the cameras are.
Yes.
And if you are an unknown candidate running against the incumbent, you need to get in front of the cameras as much as possible. So that's one of the ways to do it. And so through that, I meet all these amazing activists. You know, I started marching with Don't Shoot Portland.
Yes.
And I met all these people there. I started doing activism with Portland Tenants United, and I came back from Corvallis up to here, obviously. And you know, after like Trayvon Martin, so there was Obama running, then there was Trayvon Martin, then there was, you know, all the other murders that mm-hmm. we saw up until, you know, like Philando Castile and even more recently.
Yes,
and
sir.
So like that was like, hey, this isn't like an option right now.
Yes.
We like it could be me next. Right.
Yes.
And every time. And the thing is about Portland, and this is where I see like my niche, is trying to get the people that are maybe not more radical, like maybe people that just were like pro Hillary from the start, but they didn't understand why a lot of people didn't like Hillary, or a yes. lot of people that see the protests in the streets and they're like, we don't like that, but we really don't like Trump.
Yes.
Trying to convert those people that are just kind of moderate here in white Portland more towards the radical side is where I view myself as. And so that's basically what I've been working on trying to do ever since I got involved. And that's basically what Portland's resistance is for.
Nice.
Is trying to funnel this anti-Trump energy that exists so much.
Yes.
And funnel that into positive change here in Portland.
Yes.
To insulate ourselves from the policies of Donald Trump, not with borders and walls, but with local policies of our own. So it's kind of a fusion of a anti-Trump group,
yes.
but also a pro-Portland, pro-community, pro-empowerment group.
Yes. It sounds like, number one, you're giving people a voice.
I'm trying to.
Because we always say, hey, if you want to be heard, you have to join an organization.
Yes.
Have your voice heard. And then it also seems like you are also trying to change the mindset of white supremacy here in Portland.
Exactly. And like the thing is, so we have on one end of the spectrum, we have people that are masked up at protests,
yes.
and they're willing to do whatever for the cause.
And those are the good anarchists.
Yeah. That are there to protect people and stuff like that. They're
understand
not just
when we say good anarchists. Those are good people.
The difference is they're not committing destruction for the sense of destruction.
Yes.
They're strategic and tactical. And so on one end we have them, but then on one end we have people who say, if you go to a protest in a mask, you're a bad person, you know? So how do we move those people all the way at the end of the spectrum that we can reach towards them? Because right now those good anarchists, and I don't subscribe to that ideology, I just know that they're out there in the streets working hard.
Yes.
But those good anarchists right now, they don't have the numbers for actual revolution, right?
Yes.
So how we get to those numbers, the only way is we either convert the people that are closest to them, which is the liberals that don't like Trump but do like Hillary, because we're not converting the fascists, right?
Yes. Yes.
So we either convert them or we take baby steps or both.
Yes.
And so what I'm trying to do is either be the conduit to convert those people more towards that side of the spectrum, or be one of the people that's willing to be on the streets making those baby steps.
Yes.
And, in the meantime.
And I will say this. So we're gonna kind of go through time right now, because we'll get to Charleston. Mm-hmm. We'll get to some of the alt stuff here in Portland too. But one of the things I remember vividly was the march we did last year, as we went through the streets of Portland, through Lloyd Center, stopped at the bridge.
Yep.
And talk about Portland resistance, and how different activists have kind of come together, or try to, and taking what we're talking about is in this revolution and making it an actuality.
So the thing is about Portland is our activist scene is so dope and so strong.
Yes.
That there are so many people that are willing to go out whenever, for whatever, for the cause,
yes,
right?
Love it.
We do, obviously, and I don't know, I don't have experience with activism in other cities, really, so I don't know if this, like, infighting really exists the same everywhere. I assume it does, looking back in history. That's what I do know, where we have, you know, there's no need for COINTELPRO now because we have people posting on Facebook about each other.
Yes.
So we don't need somebody sending a message to somebody like, hey, did you see what Huey Newton did over there or something like that, because we have somebody posting on Facebook going, hey, did you see what, you know, Greg McKelvey did, this and that. So yes, we do have that, but the thing is we do also have so many people that are dedicated, and I think how it goes with Portland and any community in Portland is that we know each other because it's so small here. So once you get involved in activism, like, I'll click on somebody's page and I'm like, oh, 100 mutual friends, they're cool, because I know that those 100 mutual friends are the same people I see in the streets.
Yep.
And then now that person is part of the community. So we, you know, have a great activist community here. There is a lot of infighting, but I think that events like what happened in Charlottesville, events like the Jeremy Christian murders, mm-hmm. Where he murdered those two people on the MAX train, just trying to resist Trump in general, Quantas Hayes, Terrell Johnson, yes, like those kinds of things bring people together to where you look on Facebook and you're like, hey, that guy I hated, like, you could be the person to die, right? Because what if Quantas Hayes was the person that you're posting about on Facebook talking about this dude is bad for the community, this and that, and then he ends up getting shot? Are you going to then say, rest in peace to that dude I hated? Are you going to ignore it? Are you going to feel like a jerk because you said that? Like, if we look at the woman who got killed in Charlottesville, Heather Heyer, there's going to be people here that would have said, man, I really don't like that girl for going to that protest.
Yes.
She's too socialist, great, something like that. There's also going to be anarchists that are like, oh, she's just a liberal. She's not wearing a mask at her protest. But when she dies, then we all act like we've been on the same team the whole time.
Yes,
but we haven't. So what we need to do is act like you or me or the person next to you at a rally could be Heather Heyer, because that's the kind of world that we're living in, to where it really could be Heather Heyer, you know?
So I do believe also you were at the rally, it's almost 2 years ago, where Michael Strickland put the gun out.
Yep, that was right there. You were right next to me.
And I only bring the name up because I knew him personally before that event.
Oh, jeez.
Well, yeah, you know, I saw him at the Orlando Candlelight Vigil. Make a long story short, and a lot of people know this story already, you know, I gave my information out to him while he was videotaping. He posted it on a national white supremacy website, the ones that he's always on.
Yeah, yeah.
And I proceeded to get over, I think this past 2 years, I got over like 1,000 phone calls, 2,000 text messages from, you know, folks who just want to see if it's really my number, see if Coach Slaughter's actually really real.
Changed your number, right?
But it's my number, bro.
I see that. I've had the same number since I first got a phone in sixth grade.
Exactly. And I'm not changing my number. So, you know, they can reach me. It's area code 503-752-7741. That's John Slaughter. They can hit me anytime. I'm in the street. So, you know.
Yeah, your phone's ringing. No, it's
but it's funny because, you know, Greg, we say and we tell people all the time, especially when we talk about this little, and we're going to get off this really quick, this beef. You know, beef that happens, especially within the circles, even within the movement.
Yeah.
You know, I was at a Wicked Wednesday's last Wednesday.
Sure.
And we're talking about community, talking about police in our own community. You know, there was a fight between two hip hop heads. I won't mention any names. They're local Portland MCs. I know both of them.
Man, I'm so curious.
We're going to say hip hop MC 1 and hip hop MC 2. So hip hop MC 2 sucker punched hip hop MC 1.
Sure.
Sucker punched. And so, you know, there was a little scuffle. And then so you know, I proceeded to, even in the streets, allow these two gentlemen to kind of have ones. Because I felt like there needed to be a little bit of justice. Hey, you got sucker punched. Well, maybe you should deserve to get your licks now.
Yeah.
And so we talked about, well, is that even good? Should we even allow, you know, our homies, our boys, our community to even go to fisticuffs? And so then the next day after, you know, I saw my boy DJ Oz Rock. Shout out to Oz. He posted, hey, is a sucker punch disrespectful? You know, one of the first things I said, Greg, was, well, if somebody sucker punched me, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm in a crew, Old Dominion. Number one, you're going to get stomped probably by more than just me. But it's on right there.
Yeah.
It's on the next time I see you. And please don't apologize because I won't take your apology. And please be a lasso kicking rocks.
Sure.
Yeah. So, you know, sucker punch. Now, that's almost like one of the highest level of almost disrespect because you don't want to face me man to man. So as we talk about this beef and we're talking about conflict resolution, you know, one of the things that, you know, I mentioned last week, Sam Thompson said a good saying, and he's been repeating this things said that a saying that Karanja Crew said. I have a saying called agree to disagree, but one of the things that Karanja Crew said, and Sam Thompson keeps repeating, and I say Sam Thompson because he keeps saying, and I love it, keep saying it, Sam, we got to stay in the room. Even if we agree to disagree.
Sure.
We still have to be able to respect each other, but we got to stay in the room and still be able to continue to do work.
Yeah.
You know? And so, you know, I do have a, I don't know what you think about this. I called my man Adrian Wright. I told him I had a grand idea because there's all this beef, you know, and I'm not going to talk about, I asked you a question before we got on air and we won't really talk about some of the beef. We won't mention names, but we'll talk just a little bit about conflict resolution. But I had this idea, Gray, you let me know. All right, it's kind of idea from the college days. We just have these annual smokers to where we get the gloves out. You know, we just get it on. You got beef with somebody, especially in your weight class. We get the gloves on, get the referees out.
I'm selling tickets.
I'm telling you, let's go. Let's go.
Nah, that's what I was going to say when you were talking. I mean, like, if you don't let people catch their fades real quick, then what you end up having is people going home and grabbing guns.
Exactly. Bringing a knife to a fist fight, bringing a gun to a knife fight. I like to use my words, but I'm going to tell you right now, I almost would possibly stomp MC 2 for sucker punching. All right, so we'll keep it moving. We're going to keep it moving. So as we talk about what happened this past weekend, and we don't even need to talk about Trump's words because we already know he's a chump and his response was horrible.
Wait, can I just say...
Please, go ahead. Speech.
People that expected something different, where have you been this whole time? Like, expecting our, like, diet Nazi president to
preach,
to condemn white supremacy on day one, like, why would you expect that? It just makes sense. All right, continue.
So as we talk about, and I saw this video on Facebook of the lead up to what happened in Charleston. It was like 20 minutes long. And if you guys haven't seen it, you should share it because they're trying to make sure they take it down. And it shows the gentleman with the tiki torches before the day before they even got together at Charleston.
Yep.
The night before,
yep,
gathering up and then marching down and then gathering up the day of and then talking to some of the individuals who are the organizing leaders. It blows my mind, the mind frame of how you see they look like average white people.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's scary because there's a lot of white people that, this is the bad part about, well, a lot of it is bad, but specifically about being able to easily to condemn what you saw there. So there's a lot of white people that are like, I don't want anything to do with that, right? But I still want to benefit from white supremacy.
Yes.
You know, like, I don't want to go and be loud about it and grab a tiki torch, but I still want the benefits of white privilege.
Yes.
And I'm not working as hard as I can to break down the systems of oppression that are what they're trying to hold up.
Yes.
So you can be anti those people, but how anti those people are you if you're not seeking out black owned businesses here, yes, in Portland and, yes, spending your money there?
Preach.
How anti neo-Nazi are you if you're not willing to go stand against them, right?
Yes. One of the things I like to acknowledge in, you know, this was Joanne's show. She had a saying, and she still has, and I'm using it. She's like, no, not ally, co-conspirator. And I'm like, I had to text her and get that information, because I'm like, yes, I have to use that verbiage. I got a poem coming out. You'll hear it before I leave here from KBOO. Not today, but coming soon. But co-conspirator. So like you're saying, they want, oh, that looks terrible. I see what's happening on TV, but oh yes, this is a capitalist society we live in. Yeah. I still need to be able to use my white privilege and prosper, because I need to live. That's how I feel like some white people are just moving.
I mean, I listen to conservative talk radio basically whenever I'm in the car. My girlfriend hates it. But like, I just, like, you know, they say if you don't understand your enemies,
yes,
your enemies argue, you don't know your own. So I'm listening to Rush Limbaugh all the time, yep, this and that. And their lines right now on all of conservative talk radio is, look, we don't like those white supremacists. That was a Nazi rally. We wouldn't have been there. But also, why are you trying to take down those Confederate monuments? You know, and it's like, you can't have the same exact view, except for you were too lazy to go out and march for it and then act like you're better just because you were on Facebook saying that stuff rather, yes, than in the streets saying that stuff.
Yes. Yeah. I gotta ask you a real quick question.
Sure.
Because I'm a sports fiend.
Let's get it.
Kaepernick.
Yeah, what's up?
So, we're gonna hit this, because there's, yeah, some beef in the streets, and people are like, all right, so Greg, I'm gonna tell you. You know, I coach. People don't know I'm the women's head basketball coach at PCC.
Uh-oh.
Just say you're on Coach Slaughter's guest list. You'll get into a game for free. I say that all the time. Not a lot of people use it. I also coach high school football. One of my young players who I used to coach is in the NFL.
All right.
Balling.
All right.
Now, of course, I know a lot of, you know, NFL players, but young kid played at Benson for 3 years. Kendrick Bourne went to Milwaukee High School, yeah, then went on to Eastern Washington, didn't get drafted, but he got picked up by the 49ers.
All
and
right.
I posted, took a picture. He balled the other day. He had, I think, 6 catches for 88 yards and a tug. Caught the 2-point conversion to win the game. I posted a picture. He took the picture. I think I shared his own picture, Greg.
Uh-oh.
And I said, I don't know if I could boycott the NFL this year. My boy Booty's balling. And then people were mad.
Yeah,
oh, Slaughter.
I
don't know if you saw it. You think you saw it? Oh, Slaughter. Contradictory. Oh, and then I'm not going to lie. My guy, Ajamu, from the AAPRP. Hey, Ajamu, I love you. Hops out to Ajamu. I respect,
yep,
Ajamu.
Shout outs to Ajamu.
Yeah, and he was like, Slaughter, you smart in that. You know better. And I was like, Ajamu, hey. I got my Kaepernick jersey. I am still boycotting. I was being facetious a little bit, but just giving praise to my boy. So I was trying to give praise to my boy while saying, hey, I'm not sure, but. Yeah. Of course, I'm woke, so I know what time it is. But
well, here's the deal.
Go ahead.
The NFL
speak.
Is full of people's boys, right? And that's the deal. Like, okay, so one, I take this a little personal because I just, yep, love football, but
yes,
I hate the institution.
Yes,
you know, but I hate almost all institutions.
Yeah, thank you.
But especially this one that's driven almost entirely on the labor of black people.
Yes,
and capitalism.
It is.
But check this out. There is very few industries in America giving young black kids millions of dollars.
Thank you.
And
I love the platform they're using.
Yeah. And there is very few places where, remember I was talking about, I was inspired by seeing Barack Obama run for president.
Yes.
That's awesome. I would be,
yes,
inspired by a doctor, a lawyer, something like that too.
Yes.
But we don't see black people on TV except for on Cops.
Thank you.
And except for Don Lemon. And so so it's important.
They use the first commercials.
And now that, yeah. And then now that Obama is gone, we don't even see that. So seeing a black successful man on TV,
yes,
making millions, yes, of dollars, who is excellent at his craft, is powerful.
It is.
And so we can argue about how bad the institution is, how bad the sport might even be for people's brains and stuff like that.
Yeah, of course.
Listen
of
up,
course.
These are young black boys that many of them came from nothing.
Yes.
And you can't just turn your backs on them because the job that they have isn't awesome. Who has a job right now that doesn't uphold capitalism?
Preach.
Who has a job right now where I can go and protest freely? Nobody has that job in a capitalistic society. So I'm not gonna turn my backs on these young black men because their talent is owned by a corporate system that's bad.
Oh, you know
but
what?
I say all that because I started with I'm not boycotting the NFL and then had to find a way to justify it. But I think that is a powerful way to be able to justify turning on the NFL. And the thing is also there's people boycotting the NFL because they allow people to even sit down too.
You already
so
know.
Are we on their side? Are we, you know, like,
well,
so
I'm glad I saw Michael Bennett protest. I'm glad I saw Marshawn Lynch protest. And here's the funny thing that we're not talking about. So where's all the criminy now at Marshawn Lynch? Where's all of the tomfoolery that people came out against Michael Bennett? Now, there are people pissed this weekend, but not pissed like they were last year when Cap sat. Now,
I think it's because Cap sat ahead. And then didn't stand for the rest of the game because he didn't play.
But he did play, though, and he balled.
At the end.
For like 7-8 games.
Yeah. No, he was balling.
He was balling.
You know, I'm like a sports fanatic, though. So, I'd say 80% of the people that are saying boycott the NFL wasn't watching the NFL
of
in the first
course
place.
They weren't.
So it's easy for you to tell me stop what I'm doing when you were never doing it
Thank
in the
you.
First place.
You already know.
You know, like that's like me telling everybody stop driving Ferraris.
Well,
you know?
it makes me laugh when people are like, what's this boycott? Let's just stop watching. All right, well, first of all, you 20 people who are going to stop watching, you 40 people, you're not going to hurt them by not watching. There's, oh, you can hurt them by not watching. Yeah, they're ratings. All right, well, first of all, it's a multi-billion dollar industry.
Oh, they're fine. They are fine.
Oh, they're going to be Gucci.
Yeah.
They're going to be Gucci. Now, people are like, oh, you shouldn't buy Cap's jersey because the money's going to the NFL. Well, first of all, there's ways you can find out of buying even not fake jerseys, but ways in which you can get your jersey bought while the money's not going straight to the NFL. Number two, you can actually, if you think about this, you can go on to Cap's foundation. Some of the different T-shirts you buy will go straight to some of the causes that he's actually putting money to. So I'm going to say this. Regardless if you're boycotting or not, go get some Cap gear. Wear some Cap gear. Wear something that's actually going to money that's actually going to something positive that's affecting change. The gentleman just donated more money to an African village where the man is creating change. And you people out there who are talking about Cap, I'm going to tell you right now, the man needs a job. The man needs a job.
So here's the deal. So I know this isn't a sports talk show, but here's the deal.
Yep.
So Cap would be in the bottom half of starters. I mean,
yes,
he's good,
of course.
But he'd be in the bottom
of course,
half of starters.
Yes.
He'd be probably the best backup.
Yes,
if
he
not
would.
Like
Let's go.
Second or something like that, right?
Yep.
But the thing is, when you're just talking about salary dollars, do we pay him starter money? Do we pay him backup money?
It don't even matter how much he should get paid. Man, he needs a job. He can't get no job.
If he'll take a backup job for backup money, I don't know if that's what he's looking for, though.
I think he wants a job. And so,
throw him in the slot.
What do you think about this? I'm trying to start this. You said throw him in the slot. What do you think? I love that. What do you think about, I'm going to start this rumor. And I might be able to keep it going with my boy who's in the NFL.
What's good?
Shout out to Kendrick Bourne. I'm going to tell you guys right now, I will be at a game. You guys will see me on a San Francisco sideline. Go Cowboys, go Patriots. What do you think about
the oppressors?
You already know. What do you think about this idea that we try to attempt our black athletes to want to find at least one day where they can boycott? Where they can possibly sit themselves and not play. Oh, my God. They might get hit in the checkbook, but you know what, though? They're still getting paid. Well, some sports contracts aren't guaranteed. How can we create some change? How can we create some change?
Cap doesn't get a job, go on strike, you know?
What happens if LeBron sat? Man, what happens if 10 of the best, the African-American males we saw at the ESPYs who came and stand and spoke?
Yep.
Carmelo, Wade, LeBron, What happens? What do you think would happen? How can we start the revolution?
Sports
good. Sports good.
Everybody's watching sports.
Kids.
The thing is, people. That's the thing about Cap is that everybody was like, "That's not the platform." I was just listening to the radio yesterday, and somebody was like, "That's not his platform. That's my platform. I go to watch football on Sunday to watch football, not a political debate." And I'm like, you know, I watch football all the time. I don't even recall seeing the national anthem watching football on TV. I don't know if I was in the kitchen at the time or something like that. But I can't imagine. They call us snowflakes. I can't imagine somebody was sitting and I'm like, that ruined my football game. Like, are you serious? Like,
well, it's funny because it's funny because they talk about, oh, I save my Sundays for this. Well, you know what? What you need to do? Talk to my wife because there are days football's played. Thursdays, high school football.
Yeah.
Right? JV. Yep. Fridays, Friday Night Lights. Yep. Saturday, Sunday, now Monday Night Football. You know what the weekend is during football season? Huh. Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Because yeah. Those are almost days they don't play football.
And sometimes there's college games on Wednesdays.
And yes, there is. So I don't know what day your guy was talking about. He going to save her to, you know, keep his, you know, his worship of his holiness. Because you know what? There's football every day. I love the sports. All right, now let's turn it back. Let's get back. Revolution.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. How are we going to get it started? And is it going to be in our lifetime?
Oh, that's deep.
But we saw in Baltimore, it almost happened. The kids weren't in school. National Guards was like, we can't go there. It's not safe. National Guards can't go in every city.
Yeah.
Real talk. How are we going to get the Great Depression again? Because we need it.
Trump is a different beast, though, because
we need Fight Club.
Yeah, we need something. the thing is, what I've been preaching this whole time is we just don't have the numbers right now.
True.
So what it takes, and that's, you know, the positive part of Donald Trump. Like,
yes.
So what we see at Portland's Resistance, what we keep trying to do is not to take advantage of, but I guess capitalize on the stuff Trump does. So airport ban comes out.
Yes.
We're hitting the streets.
Yes.
We put 1,000 people into the airport. 20 of them afterwards might join our organization and be coming to the meetings and stuff like that. So just we cast this wide net whenever something horrible happens, and you know, we filter and strain through, and then people are going to remain after that, you know.
But Greg, you guys started chaos down there with that fight that happened down there.
Oh Lord. Are you talking about the day I seen you last?
Well, I'm just saying. Can we talk about that real quick? So there's one name I'm gonna throw out there.
Yeah.
Well, I don't mind. So you know, Jesse Spongeberg, you know, turned himself in for knocking the dude out.
Sure.
Who I do know, Grant Marshall. And I won't give him any props out because you know I do know him very well, hip hop. But you know, Nazi.
Really?
So yes, he is. So he preaches that BS. That's why he got knocked out.
I know
out.
Who he is.
So,
yeah. I was right there when he got knocked out.
Yes, you were. But of course we know that Spongeberg didn't do it. So we talk about the ways in which Portland tries to stay relevant, and we try to stay woke, and we try to stay ready for that revolution.
Yeah.
One of the things I've been mentioning is almost like we almost need like a national theme, like where's the beef, to where people can hop on.
Well, yeah, and it's like who is the person in the moment that yes. I don't like, but you know, like I think multiple people swung that punch.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Spongeberg definitely could have been one of them, and like I don't know. At least I think he swung. I don't know if he connected, but he swung. And
I know he swung.
And the thing is, even if he wasn't the one that did the main connection, whoever did do the main connection is like, thank you, Spongeberg, for taking that heat from me. But it happens to him. It happens to me. It
yes.
happens to you.
Yes.
Like, whether, you know, whatever beef you guys have, it happens to all of us that are considered leaders, and it especially happens if you're considered a leader and you're black.
Yes.
Like, we are under a microscope.
Yes.
People are digging up. I have a picture when I was in college when I was working on campaigns and stuff.
Yes, preach.
Somebody said, yo, Paul Ryan's coming to town. Do you want to meet him? And I was like, I'm, what, 18 years old, and I'm like, hell yeah, I want to meet Paul Ryan, because I'm a political science person, I'm trying to meet Paul Ryan, right? So it wasn't an endorsement of his politics or anything like that. And then, so that picture was out, and if you go on my Facebook, I have pictures with 100 politicians, right?
Yes.
And, but that's one of them. Yeah, and that's one of them. I never hid it. I even put it on, like, a couple resumes. Like, it's not, it was never hidden, and now people would dig up that picture from 2011 or whatever and say, look, he was a Republican, he just switched sides on us because he was trying to be an opportunist. I'm like, where do you get this? I had somebody else that said, there was somebody that got arrested on October 12th when we were in the when we were in City Hall.
Yes.
I came to their court to support their court, right? And their lawyer told me, we might need you to testify for him to say, you know, that what he had done was defensive and stuff like that. And I don't know if somebody saw me in the courtroom trying to support him or something like that. But then I get all this, Greg McKelvey's testifying against him.
Oh my God, I already know.
Where does this come from? And then, like, I have people saying I've talked about people in speeches. I have people saying, like, all this. People said I stole the rebuild money and went to Hawaii.
Oh my God, Greg,
and
it's I already know.
Where do you guys get this kind of stuff? But the thing is, this all comes from weak people. I hate to say that, not weak people, but people that feel disempowered.
Yes.
And it's not their fault for feeling disempowered, because many people are feel disempowered by the system that we have. But it is easy, and I've learned this lesson, if you keep punching up and you force somebody to punch down, that person that's punching down is now at your level.
Yeah.
So people keep punching up, like, oh, that guy's the one I see on the news, this and that. Screw that guy, you know? I'm punching up. And then if I come down and punch down, now we're on the same, in the same mat, fighting on the same terms,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And so that's why leaders, people that view themselves as leaders, people that the community sees as leaders, especially if you're Black, we can't be doing that.
Yes,
and the thing is, like, there are Black leaders that I completely disagree with on not much on end goals, but on tactics and stuff like that.
Yes.
Not on breaking down oppression, but on how we get there.
Preach.
There are people that I disagree with, but you're never going to see me go on Facebook and say a Black leader's name, tag a Black leader, because I know how hard it is to be Black in Portland.
Preach.
I know how hard it is to be a leader in Portland, and I especially know how hard it is to be a Black leader in Portland. So I don't care, you know, we could disagree on a ton of stuff. I'm not tagging you in anything, because I'm not bringing down another Black body.
And Self-Destruction was a song came out, you know, years ago, and a line in there was Black on Black crime was way before our time. And I agree, we don't need to join the train of BS that allows our people and then the movement to just not get work done.
And do you want me to fail? You know, it's like, like, you can hate me, you could hate what I'm trying to do, but, like, you know what my end goal is.
Exactly.
My end goal isn't, like, Greg world domination. My end goal is to break down these systems of oppression. So there are people that I'm like, I disagree with how you're doing it, you know, but I hope you succeed, because if you succeed, everything's going to be better for me. So so there's two options. You either just hope I fail and want to break me down and hope that I don't get there, or if you really cared and you're like, Greg's doing it wrong, reach out to me. I'm accessible, and say, look, I don't think you should be doing this, and we could talk about it. But we don't have to, you know, be posting about each other.
I love the especially when it comes from other Black people. Like, we need to stop this. Stop calling other folks Sambos, all this stuff. You know what? The crazy part is that when we start the rhetoric, we start the terminology, it's public information and you can't take it back.
Yep.
And so I'm not one of those kind of guys where I say, I told you so. But then also I am one of those kind of guys where it's like, you know what? I'm going to forgive, but I just don't forget. Because if you call me once, you're probably going to do it again.
And the thing is, those what's happening is the same lines of attack that people that are supposed to be on my team are using against me.
Yep.
The right wing picks up.
Yes, they do. Thank you.
And they try to use it
against us.
It's like, whose team are you on?
Yes.
Know? And because it doesn't make it doesn't look good if I'm the one on the news, even if you hate me, for then somebody to go on Facebook and see a bunch of people saying Greg McKelvey's actually a Republican. That's not good. That's not good for anybody. It's not good for you. It's not good for the movement, because here's the deal, and this is the responsibility of being a protest group and a protester in general.
Yes.
It doesn't matter if it's Portland's resistance. If somebody does something that's protest-wise, the vast majority of people, they just think protesters.
Yes.
They don't think, oh, it was that group, it was that group, it was this group. So when you're saying bad stuff about me, the mass public just views it as you too.
Yep.
They're just like, oh protesters are bad. They're not going to be like, oh, that's the one that doesn't like Greg McKelvey, so that's the protester that I actually like. They're just thinking, oh, discredit to protesters.
Yes. And I'll tell you this, especially individuals who I'd say, I'm going to say hate or have beef or just, you know what, I like to have these platforms for us to be able to discuss, for us to be able to even try to overcome. You know, people know that I have this poetry show called Poetic Justice. Mm-hmm. Boom. You know, it's a platform, and it's a platform for people to be able to come and share, for people to come and voice, even if you don't have justice-inspired pieces. Come and just even be a part of the movement. And so when we talk about this resistance, when we talk about Black Portland, we talk about the movement of staying woke and wanting to make sure we're doing real work in the community. I'm gonna say this, Greg, and I think you can help me too. We got to be able to use our platforms to be able to do more conflict resolution.
Well,
you know,
yeah,
and I'll say this. One of the things that we talked about with especially a small group of individuals that were coming together, leaders of the community, LOC, there were Panther people, Nation of Islam people, AAPR people, people like myself who went down to the Man March and wanted to bring back a message of, all right, Black unity, more conflict resolution, because we need that here in Portland for us to be able to get work done. What more can we do and what should we do? As you get your 2 cents as an activist and leader here in Portland,
just not hate each other because we disagree on tactics.
Yes.
You know, like, we're supposed to be able to disagree on stuff. So I can't hate you because you're not enough like me.
Yeah.
Right. I could dislike you because you're working towards bad goals like white supremacy or something like that. But as long as we're not working towards that, I can't hate you for how you're trying to get somewhere, right?
Very much so.
All I can do is try and empower you. And here's also, we have to get off this everybody has to do everything, right?
So, oh, yeah.
So we have, people have skills,
lanes,
right?
So lanes.
You know that you're a coach, you know that you got this poetic justice thing going on, right?
Yes, sir.
But you don't have to do everything, right? Like, and so there's people I know, but there's people that think I gotta be the one in front of the camera.
Yep.
I gotta be the one with the megaphone. I gotta be the one writing the posts.
Yep.
I gotta be the one sending the emails. I gotta be the one reading the poems. And you know what? I'm also gonna take John's coaching job. And it's like, and it's like everybody wants to do everything. And it's like, that's what's so beautiful about Portland's resistance. On this rally we have coming up on Friday, I'd say there's 100 people working daily on different things. There's somebody designing posters and going out and doing the posters.
Yes.
Somebody getting the route. There's somebody, you know, talking to different organizations. There's somebody doing the lead up and the promotion. There's somebody finding the performers in the rally. So we have all these people doing different things, and that's what it takes, is you finding what your skill is and then working so hard to make that happen. Because the thing is, I might be the one in front of the camera. There's 100 people working much harder than me behind the scenes, but that's just one of my skills.
Yes, you know? I hear you loud and clear. Now, let's remind the people, Friday down at Salmon Street Fountain, Southwest, 5:30, then taking the rally into the streets. Now, tell the people before we get off, where can they find Portland Resistance gatherings?
Yes. So the awesome thing, the best place is on our Facebook page, which is just Portland's with apostrophe S Resistance. And we put our events on there, but we also try and put every activist event that's going on in Portland.
You do.
And so if you're, it's a random Tuesday and you're like, oh, I have some free time today, go to our Facebook and you'll be able to find a bunch of other events that are going on. And basically, there's an event on our Facebook page every single day. But we also have the website, pdxresistance.org. And then our Twitter and Instagram is PDX_resistance.
Nice. I highly suggest that you go because, you know, here at Cable, we don't, you know, promote you go to certain events and everything, but you can actually go to certain events that certain people are at, you know, and you can catch, of course, my guy Greg at the Portland Resistance. Make sure you go to their Facebook and look at.
We also have Alexis Kennard is performing in the beginning.
Yes.
And then I don't know exactly how, I know you know her, but Claire Heacock or something like that is singing at the end. That's actually like my cousin too.
Yes, it is. That's right. Yeah. Good people. So, she does good work.
Yeah. So they're performing there. So it's not, you're just not, and then you're going to hear me speak some truth to power, but it's not just me. There's a bunch of speakers and performers.
I would be there, Greg, but I got this rap battle.
You always stand in with the oppressors. How bad do you want this?
I got this rap battle at PCC. Actually, you know what you should do? Anybody who's interested, I'm going to say this right now. Anybody who's interested, after your guys' function, we're rocking to like, I think, 10 p.m. Just come on down to Cascade Gym.
Yeah, we're going to be done like 7:45.
Come on down.
Yeah.
I'll give out like about a couple of free VIPs.
We're going to be at Cascade? Badges.
Yeah. PCC All Cascade. Right,
cool. Yeah.
Yeah. You already know. Claire knows where it is.
Yep.
You already know. So I want to thank you for coming through.
Always.
You already know. One of the things you guys got to understand is that here at KBOO, they allow us to have the voice and the platform to speak, to give our two cents, but then also to share not only about events, not only about different things that we are doing on a continuous basis, daily basis, but really allowing us to keep you woke. So I thank Greg for coming down. Bro, thank you so much. We'll have to do this again. You know, I told KBOO I need to take over another month.
Do it.
Let's go. And I need you having the
building. Have me back too.
Oh, you know I'm gonna have you back. Hey, we gonna take over. Bro, that was, I don't know if you know, that was 48 minutes of great conversation.
That was good stuff.
It was great stuff. Yeah. You know, we was on Facebook Live. Hey, Facebook's gonna be mad about us. Hey, KBOO, I'm sorry. We had to do it though. Hey, we're gonna have Greg McKelvey back here. I'll let you know when we're gonna have him. Hey, Greg, thanks so much for stopping by. Now, if you heard, I just plugged Friday, Saturday at PCC Cascade. We will be actually having this rap battle. It's put on by A-Hat. I have on the phone my guy, Amani. Amani, are you there right now?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Hey, bro. I heard you were on like 5 minutes ago. Thank you so much for waiting and being patient. What's going on, my dude?
Hey, it is a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day. We are on the day before the war goes down.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. A-Hat at PCC Cascade. Hey, AM, tell him who's going to be there. Give him.
Hey, man, you know, it's just a culmination of some battle legends throughout the world. You know, it's crazy.
Get 'em.
It's crazy that the Northwest is getting this opportunity to really be introduced to battle rap in such a way.
Yes.
Because, in, you know, the Northeast area, East Coast, Midwest, California, these cats are household names. And it's a beautiful thing to have someone like Charlie Clips from MTV, Nick Cannon, Wildin' Out. It's
yes.
A beautiful thing to have JC
yes.
from Detroit. Marv One, a Detroit legend, only cat to ever beat Eminem on camera.
Yes.
Dylan Jones from Boston, Daylight, you know what I'm saying, from Watts, California. It's just so many legends in the building. And then, you know, on top of it all, if you're a Portland Trailblazers fan out there, we got the word from Damian Lillard last week.
That oh, yes. Hey, Dame, Dollar Dame got bars.
Yeah, he got some bars.
He got bars. Yes, yes. And I know he's a big hip-hop fan, big battle rap fan. I know he does it too. So yes, shout out to Dame. Yes, thanks for coming. Hey, it's good luck that he's coming through. So it's at PCC. Give people some information.
All right. So basically, we're doing 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. both days. We're gonna have it set up with a VIP room upstairs.
Yes.
A room upstairs where you can get your drink on, whatnot. And then we're gonna be going the full event. You know, the way we throw events is we don't really take breaks. So it's either going to be a battle,
yes.
Either going to be a music performance,
nice,
or it's going to be a hoop showcase containing all of the staff.
Yes, and the you know, Coach Slaughter going to be in the building shooting from the E in Panthers. Let's go! All right, so that's what I'm talking about. So now, really quick, what an event like this? What is it going to help do? As we talk about different events and we're talking about hip-hop here in Portland, how does an event like this help kind of spawn more good events?
Just because of it's adding another layer of hip-hop to the culture. And the beautiful thing about battles that people will witness this weekend is that no matter what the content, no matter what the opponents or the showdown, it's an amazing outlet of not just talent, but it's also an amazing outlet of emotion. You know, I've been watching the show today, and, you know, we've been talking about revolutionary topics.
Yes.
And talking about community outreach and the value of coming together as a community. And, you know, that's what I've always noticed at these events. You know, these battles, they're not just artistic expression. They squash beef.
Yes.
You know what I mean? They give people that need a platform, a place to really share their talent to the world. You know, there's a lot of talented MCs in this world, and not everybody's made to be an artist.
True.
But, you know, there's different ways to express yourself, and battle rap is just a beautiful thing. It's a gladiator sport, and fans love it.
Yes, yes. Hey, well, I'm going to tell you right now, thank you so much for bringing the event to Portland. You know, I know we're going to have some fun tomorrow, and I know it's going to be a lot of work, but I just want to say, you know, from a lot of people who won't get a chance to say it, bro, thanks for, you know, even having the idea and, you know, cultivating it from, you know, the from the barbershop, you know, from Champion's Barbershop to Kelly's Olympian to, you know, this. Oh, bro, it's going to be some fun.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. I expect nothing less. I'm going to be loving to see all of Portland in the building, you know. It's a beautiful thing.
Yes, yes, yes. So tell people again where and when they can catch this event.
So it's going to be at TCC Cascade Gymnasium.
North Portland.
We've renovated it into a venue. North Portland.
Yes.
From 2 p.m. to 10 p.m., both Friday and Saturday. That's 8 hours. You heard that correct.
Yes.
Stock full of hip-hop hoops.
And they can park, you know, they can park over in the PCC Cascade parking lot right there off of Albina, correct?
That's correct. We got them covered.
Right off of Albina, yes. So make sure you hit up Imani. Hey, thank you so much for coming, you know, calling in this morning. You guys need to make sure you come out and support good events. And I say this, the event hasn't even happened yet, but we know it's going to be dope. We need to make sure you hear that tag, Supportland. Go out and support these different guys who are bringing good events to Portland. Imani, AM. My guy Adrian Wright from Way Too Hot. A lot of these different people in Portland are bringing you events that are not just your everyday hip-hop show. And this is hip-hop, but like you said, you heard them from Imani. You got some basketball going on. You got a little bit of some different hip-hop performances, and you got the art of the battle, which is a cappella, correct? They go on a cappella, right? Yes, yes, so we can hear the bars.
And real quick, I just want to mention, you know, support, you know, that's what we need in this community here, both hip-hop, both art outreach, and in the community. We need support, you know, between ourselves and with each other and kind of connecting these neighborhoods and everything like that. The beautiful thing about these type of events is that you just get to come and have a good time, and you're supporting just by being there. But this is where you want to be. This is that last summer jump off. We got school coming back. We got everything settling down. We got the city about to be shut down on Monday from this solar eclipse.
Yes, it is.
And this is just
shut
a
down.
Beautiful thing. Exactly, shut down, gridlock. Nobody's going anywhere.
Like we talked about traffic.
If you're not going to go anywhere, if you can't move around, if you're going to be stuck in one spot, why not make it the most ideal spot of the weekend?
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Yes, yes. You know what I'm saying. So, Imani, thank you so much for calling. That's Imani, a.k.a. AM of AHAT, Oregon. He has the rap battle down at PCC Cascade. Please come on down to my gym. Please be safe. And make sure you bring a friend or two. It's going to be, we already know it's going to be dope. Hey, Imani, thank you for calling, and thank you so much.
I appreciate you. I'll see you at the event, fam.
You already know it. I'll see you later today.
Right.
That was Imani AM from AHAT, Oregon. He has that rap battle down at PCC Cascade. We've been pushing that. That's going to be one of the doper events here in Portland this summer. You need to make sure you go check it out. I will be in the building. You know, Old Dominion will be in the building. My guy, RC Spitta, who you heard here a couple of weeks ago, he will be performing. My guy Cosmo Problems, newest member of Old Dominion, he will be in the building performing. And you heard the guy. You're going to have like 5 or 6 of the best battle rappers in the almost the world here in Portland. So make sure you come and check them out. Really quick, you know we love to promote different events and good stuff here in Portland that's coming up. Next Saturday, we heard about the block party from my good friend Dante Graham Preston. They're doing a block party down the Irvington area at 7th Street. We blocked off on Graham all the way to MLK. So make sure you, if you get a chance, hey, that Irvington area is a beautiful area. You know, I went to Irvington Elementary School. I will be there with Poetic Justice. We will be in the building. We will have poetry. You're going to hear the beautiful Miss Saida Wright singing. You're going to hear a lot of hip-hop, some punk, some pop. Of course, you know, you're going to hear John Slaughter on the microphone, helping hosting. So we will have some fun there. That is the Irving Block Party. And then, of course, I haven't been pubbing it because I don't like to sometimes pub my own events. Poetic Justice, you know, we've been taking a break, but we are helping PCC and my women's basketball team September 30th. It's a ways down, but I got a couple of weeks to be able to promote this. The fashion show. That's all I got to say. But I'm going to say more. If you are a brand, if you are a designer, if you are a line, please hit me up, johnbslaughter@yahoo.com. We are doing the fashion show. It's a fundraiser for the women's soccer team, the women's basketball team, and the Women of Trade Conference. It's, if you know about fashion and you know about clothes here in Portland and you know about anyone who has any type of interest, please send them that our way. It is going to be one of those fashion shows that is just gonna blow Portland socks off. So we're gonna have some performances. Oh, it's gonna be the another one of those different events in Portland that you're gonna want to come to. So make sure you put that on your calendar, September 30th at PCC Cascade Gym, the fashion show. This is Voices from the Edge. I am John Slaughter. Now, before we get off, I only have a couple of seconds. Next week, live in the studio, doing live and mixing and scratching, we got the infamous DJ Wicked. That is my guy, tech in the building. Hey, he's going to be doing a lot of justice-inspired music, a lot of Public Enemy, X-Clan, you sissies. Hey, we're going to have a little bit of fun next week, so we're going to get a little bit less revolutionary with the music, but we're gonna keep the music revolutionary. It's Voices from the Edge. I am John Slaughter. I'm gonna let you know, hey, make sure you tune in next week. I got a couple of shows left, but make sure you keep tuning in to community radio. KBOO does a great job of allowing people like me to have a platform to come and share the voice. Hey, I'm John Slaughter. You didn't get no poetry today, but you'll get some next Thursday. This is Voices from the Edge. We want to thank KBOO Radio. Hey, next time, hey, we'll get more calls in, but it's 503-231-8187. Make sure you call into KBOO and get those voices heard. Voices from the Edge, John Slaughter. I will see you next Thursday. You have a beautiful day. Enjoy that sun. Make sure you enjoy the eclipse and be safe. Hey, John Slaughter, PJ, have a great day. Rah! I know you don't know
what life is really worth. Good morning. It's 9 o'clock, and you're listening to KBOO Portland. And coming up, Press Watch, Teresa Mitchell brings you the news you're not supposed to know. At 9:30, Fight the Empire returns with a historic tale of the San Patricio Battalion, the Irish soldiers who switched sides in U.S. war against Mexico. At 10 o'clock, Air Cascadia with Chris Andre, headlines, interviews, and commentary. Flashpoints at 10:15 with Dennis Bernstein. At 11 on Between the Covers, David Naiman speaks to author Yanara Friedland about her book Uncountry, a mythology, a poetic reimagining of myth. KBOO keeps you informed and involved, and we need your love. Go to kboo.fm and click on Donate to become a member.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Montevilla Jazz Festival, Saturday, August 19th and Sunday, August 20th at Portland Metro Arts in Portland. The Montevilla Jazz Festival is a two-day festival that shows